Amen. Thank you very much, Rabbi Feldman. We now move on to Maggid. We'll have three different Torah on Maggid this evening. And we begin with Rabbi Jaffe, who is the rabbi of AY Avas Yisrael. It's a kavod gadol, Rabbi Jaffe.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rabbi Molinsky, for putting this together. This is a wonderful treat to be able to come together like this. I'd like to share with everyone here a beautiful letter. The letter is called A Passover Letter to My Child. It's found in the Sefer written by the Rosh Yeshiva of Greater Washington, Rav Aaron Lopiansky, Shlita. Rav Lopiansky has come to our community. He spoke years ago at an RJJ event. I'd like to read you his letter, and I think it puts a proper context into what we're trying to, everything we're trying to achieve at the Leil HaSeder. He begins, "My dear child, it's now a quiet moment late at night, after an exhausting day of Passover cleaning. You've sunk into the sweetest of sleeps, and I'm sitting here with a pile of Haggadahs preparing for the Seder night. Somehow the words never come out the way I want them to, and the Seder evening is always unpredictable. But so many thoughts and feelings are welling up in my mind, and I want to share them with you. These are the words I mean to say at the Seder. When you'll see me at the Seder dressed in a kittel, the same plain white garment worn on Yom Kippur, your first question will be, why are you dressed like this? Because it is Yom Kippur, a day of reckoning. You see, each of us has a double role. First and foremost, we're human beings, creatures in the image of God. In Yom Kippur, we're examined if indeed we're worthy of that title. We're also components of Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, links in a chain that started over 3,000 years ago and will make it to the finish line of the end of times. It's a relay race where the torch is passed on through all the ages, and it's our charge to take it from one before and to pass it to the one after. Tonight we're being judged as to how well we've received our tradition and how well we're passing it on. It's now 3,300 years since we received our freedom in Egypt. If we imagine the average age of having a child to be about 25 years of age, there are four generations in each century. That means there's a total of 132 people stretching from our forefathers in Egypt to us today. 132 people had to pass on this heritage flawlessly, with a devotion single-mindless that could not falter. Who were these 132 fathers of mine? One was in a Nazi death camp. One was whipped unconscious by Cossacks. One had children stolen by the Tsar. One was the laughingstock of his, quote, enlightened brethren. One lived in a basement in Warsaw with many days of passing with no food crossing his lips. The other ran an enormous estate in France. One was burned at the stake for refusing to believe in divinity of a flesh and blood mortal. And one was frozen to death in Siberia for continuing to believe in the divinity of an eternal God. One had been hounded by a mob for living in Europe rather than Palestine. One was blown up by Palestinians for not living in Europe. One was a genius who could not enter medical school because he was not a Christian. And one was fed to the lions by the Romans. 132 fathers, each with his own story, each with his own test of faith. And each one overriding and had a burning desire that this legacy be passed unscathed to me. And each with one request of me, that I pass this on to you, my sweet child. What's this treasure they've given their lives for? What is this precious packet that 132 generations have given up everything for? It's a great secret. The man is capable of being a lot more than an intelligent primate. That the truth of an almighty God doesn't depend on public approval. No matter how many people jeer at you, truth never changes. That the quality of life is not measured by your goods, but by the good. That one can be powerfully hungry, and yet one can forego eating if it's not kosher. That a penny that is not mine is not mine, no matter the temptation or the rationalization. That family bonding is a lot more than birthday parties. It's a commitment of loyalty that doesn't buckle in a moment of craving or lust, and so much more. This is our precious secret, and it's our charge to live it and to become a shining display of this is what it means to live with God. 132 people have sat Seder night after Seder night, year after year, with every fiber of their heart and soul, and have made sure that this treasure will become mine and yours. Doubters have risen, were busy sifting the sands of the Sinai desert, trying to find some dried-out bones as residues of my great-great-grandfather. They're looking in the wrong place. The residues in the soul of every one of these 132 grandfathers, whose entirety of life was wrapped up in the preservation of this memory and treasure. It's unthinkable that a message born with such fervor and intensity, against such challenges and odds, is the result of vague legend or the fantasy of an idle mind. I am the 133rd person in this holy chain. At times I doubt if I'm passing it on well enough. I try hard, but it's difficult not to quiver when you're on the shoulders of 132 people begging you not to disappoint them by toppling everyone with you swaying in the wind. My dear child, may God grant us many long and happy years together, but one day in the distant future, I'll be dressed in a kittel again as they prepare me for my burial. Try to remember that this is the treasure I've passed on to you, and then it'll be your turn. You will be the 134th with a sacred duty to pass on our legacy to number 135. I wish everybody a lot of siyata deshmaya. That Kodesh Baruch Hu should give us kochos to take the mesorah that we have and through the telling of the Magid to give it on to the next generation. Chag Sameach.
Thank you. Thank you, Rav Jaffe. Wow, very powerful.